Everybody that's watching online this morning, welcome to Promised Land San Marcos. We welcome you into our location. Wherever you're watching from, we're glad to have you. And whether you're watching, listening, whether you're live or whether you're watching some other era, wherever that is, we welcome it. Let's give them a hand right now. Welcome them to the facility. We are marching toward March 27th. That is Easter Sunday. I love to call it Resurrection Sunday, the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And we're believing that that's going to be an incredible day of worship, celebration, declaring Jesus Christ is still risen from the dead. He's still present in our life. And so we are creating another worship opportunity to try to create more space for your friends and family, for yourself here at Promised Land. So we're going to have four morning services that day. We're going to start at 8 a.m., and then we'll have 9:30, we'll have 11 a.m., and we'll have 12:30. So everybody has to pick a new service. None of the services are the same time as current. But just for that one day, we're asking people to jump in on a new service time. And it would be great to, if you're going to pick something different, to kind of go either early or later and leave this middle spot for all the new folks that want to come. This is the easier time to come. The 8 a.m. service will be a family-type atmosphere. Kids and young toddlers and all that will be in the service at 8 a.m. So if your kids need to be in children's ministry, if they're really eager for that, that would be the 9:30, the 11, the 12:30 service. But we're excited about this. We need help too. If you are able to serve, maybe even just one day, it'd be Easter. You could come to early service and then serve, either greeting people, helping people get their cars parked, help in the children's area, wherever, be great. So we're going to be sharing with you in the next week or so ways to do that. And come on, help us. We're expecting hundreds and hundreds of people to be here, and people that don't know Jesus will be here that day, just as there is today. And we're praying that they come to know him and that he is their Savior. Amen. Amen. All right, so we have today, we have two more Sundays before that day. So the next three Sundays, including today, we're going to have a sermon series called People of Peace. And this is really going to prepare our hearts and our minds to participate in what's going to happen that day on Easter. People of Peace. Do you see yourself up on there? You're looking good, Promised Land, San Marcos. Somebody was bitter at the 8:15 service. They didn't see themselves up there. I said, that's probably because you weren't smiling and we couldn't get a picture of you. people of peace. Are you a person of peace? Do you know people of peace? As we read the Bible, we see two things become clear as you read the entire Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The first is that there's two types of people. There's people on the inside of God's family, God's kingdom, and then there's people on the outside of God's family and God's kingdom. In the Old Testament, there were the Jews. They were a certain nationality, and they live in a certain geographical setting in Israel. And then everybody else was called Gentiles. But then as Jesus came on the scene, he brought good news that the kingdom is now for everyone. You don't have to be born a Jew. You can be a Gentile. Just believe on Jesus, and he's going to adopt you into the family. But even at that point, there's still people on the outside looking in. So the New Testament, actually Jesus called at some point in his teaching, he said there's sheep and there's goats. There's sheep and there's goats. There's the sheep are on the inside, the goats are on the outside looking in. The redeemed people and sinners. Believers, infidels. There's some strong words in the Bible, in the New Testament, talking about two different sets of people. There's those in the light, and those are in the darkness. So we see in the Bible two sets of people, those that are in and those that are out. Then here's the second thing that's so important that Jesus shares with us, and that is that he's calling on us as human beings, everybody in this room here today, to participate with him in bringing those that are on the outside into the inside. That's not going to happen simply outside of human interaction, but instead, he is going to allow us as human beings to participate in this movement of people that are on the outside coming to know Jesus and being adopted on coming into the inside. Jesus sends us on a mission. We call it the Great Commission, where he commissions us. He sends us out to go make disciples, baptize them, and make disciples. And that's basically two things happening there. Go out and evangelize. Be evangelists. How many evangelists are in here? Some of y'all are. I'm an evangelist. Nobody really wants to be an evangelist because it's got sort of, it sends chills down my back. Evangelist. That's just a weird word. It's been denigrated. It's been contaminated by people that have abused that word. But the truth is, it's in the Bible. And Jesus is calling us to be on mission for him, to reach people that the Bible would say is lost. The lost, people that are not found yet. They're still waffling. They're still seeking a path. They're still inundated with self, right? But then there's the found people, and he's calling us to get on mission with him and help bring people that's lost people into being found people. That's evangelism. That's bringing new people into the family of God. And then he says to disciple them, make them disciples. That's after they've come into the family. Now we're going to help them mature. We're going to teach them. We're going to encourage them. We're going to rebuke them. We're going to help them in many different ways. And that's going to, after they come into the family, they're going to mature as a believer. They're going to be sanctified by the Spirit of God after they've already been justified by the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of God. Amen. So that's what he's called us to do. The problem is most of us think, well, I'm not evangelist. That's somebody else over there. You know, I'm just doing my thing over here. And, you know, that's what the pastor's job. That's what he's supposed to be doing. He's an evangelist. And so I want to invite someone to come up and somebody that loves Jesus. Anybody want to get in the hot seat today? I have a feeling you don't, since you just barely raised your hand. Crystal, come on. You'd be perfect. Come on up. No, you don't want to do it? How about somebody? Yes or no? Yes? Okay. Can you? Okay. Come on up. You can just have a seat. I need somebody to bring. Yeah, thank you so much. Okay. Okay, you can hold a microphone just like that. Man, she did not volunteer. We voluntold her to come up here.
My heart is beating really fast.
So, I won't be nice to you.
Okay.
But I want you to kind of represent Promised Land San Marcos today. This is not set up. You have no idea, right?
Right.
Okay, so she has no idea. You were at the first service? Okay, so you have no idea what I'm about to ask you right now. Are you sure you want to do this? So I want to just kind of get, I want everybody to kind of get the feel that they're not alone and that they're not strange or weird, that you're just as weird, okay, as that they are and that, so I want you to be honest.
Okay.
Don't try to act like, you know, you got everything all perfect, everything all together. I want you to be honest. You are sitting on the platform of the Lord our God. So You need to, yeah, take your shoes off. No. All right, so I'm going to ask you about three or four questions. I want to just kind of have a dialogue here with you. Can y'all see over there? Let me take this off so you guys can see. All right, so when we're thinking about evangelism, and I want to ask you about like your personal thoughts on this, and like how you feel like you're doing as an evangelist. So if you were to think about your weekly life, your weekly schedule, just your average week, mm-hmm. how often do you consciously think about winning? The old terms we used to say, I've been very nostalgic lately thinking about the old days, but in the old days we would say winning the lost. Have you ever heard that term? Have you, or being a soul winner. Being a soul winner or winning the lost for Jesus. So, like, how often on a weekly basis or a daily basis, like, do you consciously think about today I'm going to be a soul winner, today I'm going to be an evangelist?
I don't know the exact number, but I would say often.
Often? Mm-hmm. And how does that play out in your mind?
Well, I want to... I want to represent that, like, when I go out, especially being in a small town, like, if you're doing something, I feel like you're going to get caught, you know, like, so I feel like whenever I go out, I have to, like,
represent that. So you don't want to get caught. You want to shine that light.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're thinking about it here and there, like, what I'm doing is being an example for people. That's great. Mm-hmm. What about actually talking to them and saying things to people to try and help them see who Jesus is?
How often?
Yeah, like not that you do it, but just like you think, like, I need to be participating in conversations and like pointing people to Jesus and helping them find Jesus. Well, and just please don't feel like you need to be Bishop Crystal Swain up here, you know, like Billy Graham or anything like that. Just
whenever you just meet random people, I always personally think about how Jesus was a friend first. So I kind of want to just be a friend first. And then the winning soul is like deep at the back of my head.
Okay. All right. How good do you think you are at this whole process? Like, when you think about you on a scale of like 1 to 10, 1, you're awful. You never think about it. You fail all the time. 10 is you're just like, you're winning them right and left.
I would say maybe like 4.75.
4.75. Here's the point of this sermon series. We want to get you to like a 6.372. That's what we're going to try to do. And wherever you are, as she's talking today, you're like thinking, okay, this is like me, this is not like me, or whatever. The point over the next 3 weeks is I really, really want to help everybody in here get on mission. Mm-hmm. With Jesus, wherever you are, whatever you're doing in your daily life, to be on mission and be thinking about it, what to you, this is the final question, and then you can go back. What to you is difficult about it? Like when you think about the whole process of helping people know Jesus, to you, what's challenging or maybe intimidating?
I think for me personally, the challenging thing is, I think self starts to get in the way, because God is the one who's doing this. He's just using you to spread the gospel. But I think you can kind of get caught up in yourself when people reject you, or if people don't want to listen to you or whatever, you start thinking about self, like, well, what's wrong with you? You know, like, you know, why aren't you listening or whatever? But it's not about me. Yeah. It's about God. Yeah. And sometimes I kind of lose that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Please give her a hand right now, because she... That was not easy. So very thankful for Crystal in our church. And I think that she paints a good picture, you know, what it's like. Let's look at what Jesus said. Luke, the 10th chapter, in the first verse. I want us to look at Jesus' teaching on how you could be on mission. Everybody in here has different backgrounds, different ages, different occupations, different amounts of money. You have different family structures. Some of you are married, some of you are single, some of you are widowed, some of you are divorced, whatever the situation. We all have different areas of influence. We all have different skills, talents, and abilities. And so some of you might be thinking, well, that's not my personality. That's not who I am as a person. You know, God just kind of called me to be in the background, just kind of do whatever. And you thought that to be an evangelist was, you had to be like a Billy Graham that filled up auditoriums or coliseums, you know, or you thought that just the term evangelist was not a good term, because you see people on TV saying that they're evangelists and they want your money. You know, and then they're found that they've done stuff bad with money or whatever, and so they've kind of contaminated it. We're going to blow up those definitions of evangelist, even though those people are out there. And no matter where you are on the spectrum, where you are, whether you're the hermit that doesn't like to talk to anybody, just do your own thing, or you're Gary Gilbert. Come on, stand up, Gary. Look at his shirt that he's wearing today. Well, you don't have to come up here. See what I'm saying? Revival, gold flame. It's awesome. All right, you can. If I give him a mic, it's over. I'm telling you right now. I admire him. He's gifted to speak to total strangers and share with them all kind of good news about Jesus. Some of you are not like that. So wherever you are on the scale, though, Jesus is going to give us some really good stuff here in Luke 10 and 1. It says, the Lord now chose, this is Jesus, Jesus now chose 72 other disciples. That's a pretty big group of people. And sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. So he's actually doing and displaying for us what it would look like to be evangelists. And I love about verse 1 right here, we see that Jesus was strategic. He picked certain people. He then sent them out. And it says he sent them to specific places that he planned to visit. So he had strategy involved. It wasn't just haphazard or random. In fact, it was very strategic. He said, I want you guys to go over here. I want you guys to go over there. And I've already got a plan for this area, and I've got a plan for that area. But I want you to go and start sowing seed in those areas and getting them ready. And so that's one thing that's important about this, that you need to be a part of a plan. You need to be a part of a group of people that Jesus is sending out. And Promised Land really is like the 72. If you were to look at our church, we represent the 72, and as a leader, we're sending people out. And we're sending people out to the Clayton's house tonight to go play volleyball in Buda. We're sending another group out to go play basketball. We're sending another group out to go jogging. We say, Joy, go out with some young college students and go jogging around the river and see what happens out there. When you guys are out here in this region, see what God's going to do over there. You're going to have a group in your house over here. You're going to be, Friday night, March the 11th, this coming Friday night, I'm going to be gathering with a group of people at Christ's Barbecue in Lockhart, having a meeting just like Jesus did right here. We're going to eat some really good barbecue. So if y'all want to come, come on out Friday night to Christ. 6:30, right there on 183 in the north side of Lockhart. And the whole gist is to get together, to eat some good food, and to get to know one another. But the gist of it is, the core of it is, okay, we're going to start going out in Lockhart and building the kingdom in Lockhart. I need you guys to go this way. I need you guys to go that way. And it's going to be very strategic. And man, it's going to be tasty too. So if you want to be a part of that, come on. You don't even have to live in Lockhart. Maybe I want to cast a bigger vision to some of you guys and ladies out here, families, that maybe not, you don't live in Lockhart area, but you would like to be a part of a new campus, a promising campus over there. Maybe you just want to commit to a year and to help us plant that campus. Come on out to Christ on Friday night. Luke 2 and 10 and 2. This is the very next verse. Then his instructions to them were this: the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. This is a core part of the text right here, and it lays out the analogy of what being in a mission, being on mission, being a harvester is all about. In fact, that's what he uses as an example, is to harvest, to go out and be a farmer. And you don't just start with a harvest. You don't just start by going up to a tree and picking the fruit off that tree. You start with sowing a seed into the soil. And then after that seed has germinated with the right other ingredients, proper farming techniques, the oxygen, the water, the soil content, all of that is at the right levels, and then germination begins to happen, and that seed sprouts come up, branches and vines and blooms, and then after the blooms come this delicious fruit or grain or whatever it is, and then the farmer comes back along and begins to harvest that produce and being able to enjoy and live on the harvest. And this is what Jesus tells them. You don't have to wake up in the morning, bow down at your bed before you go to work or school or whatever, and say, Lord, please let me be around sinners today. Lord, please let me be around people that need you today. Jesus says, wherever you go, there's going to be sinners everywhere. There's going to be people. You don't have to pray for the soil. You don't have to pray. What you need to pray is that there's going to be more laborers out there in the field. And so, first of all, before you can pray for other laborers in the field, you need to pray that yourself is a laborer in the field. And that's why we ask the question, like to Crystal, and I ask it to all of you, how often do you consciously think about participating and harvesting and planting seeds and stewarding over this garden of the world, of the kingdom that God has placed you in? He has specifically placed you in this era of time, in this region of the world, to participate in building his kingdom. You could have been born in any other place, any other race, any other geographical location, whatever. You could have been born in 1700 and 1300 and 1000 BC, whatever. No, you were born at the exact time. You're in this place right now. You're listening to me right now. God has placed you here for this season, for this time. This morning at the 8:15 service, these rows right here were filled with Gary Job Corps students. And I told them, you know, I personally don't know the specifics about why you thought you were coming here. You were coming to get a good education, to get prepared for your occupation. You're going to learn some things here that are going to help you be a better parent, a better father, mother, sister, brother, whatever, husband, wife. But I want you to get a hold of the vision of God of why you're here right now at Gary Job Corps. You're put in a place right there. And this goes beyond Gary. This goes to your school, this wherever you're at. If you're at Goodnight, if you're at the high school, if you're at Lehman, if you're at Hayes, wherever you are, God has put you in those halls. He's put you in that extracurricular activity. He's put you in different places to mix it up with people all around you, rub shoulders and elbows with people all around you that I will never go to be around. I'll never see them. In fact, they don't even let me on Gary Job Corps campus and preach the gospel because I'm an outsider. So I was releasing them and empowering them. Listen, God has put you right here, right now, for this purpose. And I just want to let you know that you're going to participate in helping people that don't know Jesus. You're going to participate in bringing them into the kingdom. That doesn't mean you're going to be out by the pool, you know, saying that they're all the goats and you're the sheep and that they, you know, if they don't follow you, they're going to hell. And I'm not talking about preaching on the corner and all that. God may have called you to do that. But there's some of us, that's not going to happen. It's going to be through relationship and other avenues. But this is what I love about this passage is he's saying this is about seed time and harvest. So sometimes you're going to be sowing seed. Sometimes you're going to be watering. Sometimes you're going to be just waiting. Sometimes you're going to be around someone that is what's called low-hanging fruit. Just easy. They're ready to give their heart to Jesus. They're ready to surrender their life to God. And I don't know why they're low-hanging fruit. Maybe someone for years has been sowing seed into their life and it's finally getting to a place where it's time for them and you've been the one to come along and help harvest them. Maybe you're the one that's been sowing seed in their life for years and years and years and now it's time for you to present the gospel message to them and let them come to know Jesus and for them to find forgiveness and redemption and salvation and all that. Maybe you've been participating in that. We don't know. We're not here to explain that or figure that out. We're just here to farm. We're just here to be good stewards. We're just here to follow what God has told us to do. And so it happens when we live our life, like Crystal, great, great analogy, great, great thought there. When you're just living your life, I want you to think about the way you respond to challenge at work or around people that you know. How do you respond to gossip? How do you respond to success? How do you respond to things when there's immorality going on or unethical behavior? How do you either participate or take a step back? I want you to realize something. People are watching you, whether you realize it or not. And you're actually sowing seed into people's life without you even saying anything to them. In fact, I'm sure you've all heard the famous words of Francis Assisi, who said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." So sometimes we're farming with our words. Sometimes we're farming with our absence of words, our silence. Sometimes we're loving on people, listening to people, praying with people. We're just throwing out seeds and we're ready. And we're ready. And we're watching and listening. And so we're going to pray, Lord, help me be a laborer today. Help me see with your eyes today. Help me hear with your ears today. I don't want to just go about life in the same old, Lord. Instead, I want to be on mission today. Whether you're going to Guatemala or high school, whether you're riding your bike down the street or you're working out at the gym or you're going to Russia, no matter where you're going, Lord, let me see with your eyes today. Let me be on point today. Let me be on mission today. Let me hear not just the words that they're saying, God, but what are you hearing when they say those words? What, not just what I see with my eyes about how they're struggling, how they're depressed, how they're angry, Lord, let me see with your eyes today. That's what we're praying, God, that I would be a laborer today. Lord, I pray that I would participate today in this. He's going to put people in your path. You don't have to worry about that or pray about that or think about that. He's going to put them in your path. So say, Lord, I'm going to go. I'm going to be a laborer today. Help me see the way you see. But Lord, let there be other laborers that join in, another partner with me. All right, let's keep going. Luke 10:3. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. All right, there's that dichotomy again. There's that separation between the sheep And this time he says wolves, not just goats, but wolves. There's a difference. So remember, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. So there's a lot of risk. There's some danger out there. But I love the way he follows it up. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Here is a picture he paints, first of all, in verse 3 of, don't forget, it's not all roses out there. Not everybody's going to line up behind you and say, I'm ready to go to your church. I'm ready to go to your Bible study. I can't wait for that. And Crystal was explaining some of that risk, that what if I say the wrong thing? What if I do something that's weird? Or what if they don't receive me? You're being sent out amongst a bunch of things that there's a lot of risk. But he follows it up with this next verse that's so important. He says, you are going into a risky place, but don't take anything with you that's going to undergird that risk or protect you from that risk. Instead, what he's saying is fully trust in me in that risk. So don't think that your money's going to bail you out and make you look good after you have a struggle or some sort of issue. Your traveler's bag that they would traditionally carry that's going to have their goods and help their journey and, you know, make things well for them. An extra pair of sandals, you know, they're traveling in dirty situations, very rough. Their sandals were not like our shoes. They were not very high quality like we have. They would wear those sandals out. He's saying, just go with the bare minimum and trust in me that I'm going to provide for you wherever you go. So yes, you're called. Yes, it's going to be difficult, but don't trust in your own resources and your own abilities. Instead, trust in me, and I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to give you the words to say. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you your provisions that you need. Then he follows it up with his last sentence, don't stop to greet anyone on the road. That's not meaning be a jerk, be mean if people wave to you, say, no, I'm busy. I'm on the mission for God right now. He's not advocating being mean or being rude or being not polite to people. What he's saying is that when it's harvest time, when it's time, when you sense that someone is nearing the gospel, you're sowing seed, you're participating in this evangelism, you need to understand this is a very, very important thing. Put it first. Put it first. There's so many distractions. What he's talking about, greeting on the road, is a distraction that would pull you away from the mission of God. So when it's time to act and time to move in the mission of God, there's so many things that distract us, whether it's our career, it's our family, it's entertainment. I'm all for family. We're all for working. We're all for Sabbath rest. We advocate that in this church so much. But at the same time, if any of those things are taking the place of or getting pushing out the mission of God, then you need to reevaluate your priority and make sure that the mission of God is important. That's why I asked the question of how often do you actually literally think about, is it cognizant to you that you are participating in evangelism? Is it something that is on your radar? Is it something that you consider important? If not, I want to encourage you, find a way to remind yourself on a daily basis. Make it a part of the prayer, like I already said. Make it, you know, write a sign, put a picture up on your phone, whatever. Make sure you're cognizant and you're thinking about, oh yeah, I'm on mission today. And I love what she said about, I want to make sure I don't mess up, because what do people see? And that was a very honest, open expression of I want to paint a good picture for people to see Jesus. That was a good thing. I want people to see Jesus when I'm around them. And that's a priority for Crystal. I want it to be a priority for us. All right, let's go to verse 5. Whenever you enter into someone's home, and instead of it just being a home, you could say relationship here. This was a very strategic plan they had, go to house to house. We have people in our church that go house to house on Saturday. They go to people's homes. They pray for people, strangers, cold call type evangelism. We have people that do that. But that's not just for this type of evangelism. It's for any relationship that you enter into. When you enter into someone's home, first say, may God's peace be upon this house. And this is the identity that you bring into a new relationship, is the peace of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all these sermons that we've had lately are all building on one another. We had one in January 31st. We talked about baptism identities. And when you go down into the name of Jesus Christ, you take on the fullness of the Godhead, of the identity of God. You're adopted in as a son of the Father. You're on mission as Jesus was as the Son. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. You take on a new identity. So the old things that used to identify you, like your race, like your gender, like your job, like your education, those are no longer your number one identifying factors. Instead, your number one identifying factors is Jesus Christ. So when you come into a new relationship and you meet somebody new, you're no longer trying to posture yourself so that they'll be impressed with your identity or who you are. I don't know if you realize that or not, but every time we get and meet someone new, we shake their hand, we get to know them by conversation, and we immediately start to try to figure out where we are on the social ladder what do you do for a living? I have a better education. I have more money. Ooh, they got more experience than I do. And we have this sort of subconscious thing going on in our identity with when we have a relationship with other people. And what is the good news about Jesus Christ? When you're a believer in Jesus Christ, when you go into a new relationship, it's not the relationship anymore. It is my intent when I come into this new relationship is to bring peace. That's my identity. My identifying factor is Jesus Christ. This is going to bring so much freedom to you guys. It brings so much freedom to me. All of a sudden, when you're in that relationship with somebody else and you're concerned about them not liking you, are you saying something that would paint a picture of you that they would reject? You talked about rejection earlier, Crystal. And earlier, the interview was Erica, my wife, and she said almost the exact same things that you said. Both of them says, what if I say something? What if I'm presenting something that they don't like or that they don't accept or they don't like me anymore? What you're doing now in presenting your new persona is you're presenting the good news of Jesus, and you're not owning that any longer. In fact, he goes on to say, Luke 10:6, if those who live there are peaceful, or if that relationship that you're entering into is peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Other translations say, if they are a person of peace, if they are people of peace. So this whole sermon series is called People of Peace, and what our temptation is to think, well, we need to be people of peace, and that's what this sermon series is all about. And it is about us being a people of peace, that's what we bring. But a bigger and deeper revelation from Scripture says that we are to find people of peace. Not that they're saved, or not that they understand everything about Jesus, but the concept that Jesus is bringing to us right here is that if they are receptive to the message, they're a person of peace. There's going to be some people that are not receptive to the message, that the seed, even if you throw seed out, it's going to skip off of the soil because the soil is too hard. Or it may take root for a little bit, but the thorns will crush it. So the person of peace would be someone that is open to receive the truth of Jesus Christ. We're looking in relationships for people that would be ready to receive the truth of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the love of Jesus. And sometimes that person of peace, look at these fingers right here that I have right here. Sometimes that person of peace, you see that opening there in my, the peace that they're displaying towards you might be just a little sliver. But what Jesus is saying is, in that little sliver, you can put a little seed in that sliver right there. And maybe that's all you do when they're struggling with temptation, or they're struggling with a death in their family, they're struggling with depression or heaviness, or they start asking you questions about your life, about your change, about the peace in your life. What people are demonstrating is that they are a person of peace, that this could be an opportunity for you to actually present the gospel of Jesus to them. And that person that keeps complaining to you all the time, and you're annoyed at, like, leave me alone. Why do you keep bothering me all the time? It could be that Jesus keeps putting that person of peace in your life. You say, well, they ain't peaceful. They bring nothing but depression on me. Ah, but you're looking with your eyes. You're hearing with your ears. What if you would see with Jesus' eyes and hear with Jesus' ears? And really what they're saying is, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. That's not what they're literally saying. They're literally saying, I can't believe she said that. And I, you know, if I get one more chance to tell them, I'm going to really, and I'll never go, you know, all that's what they're saying with their mouth. But really what you're hearing is, I don't have the peace of Jesus in my life. And I keep coming back to you because there's something about you that draws me closer. I keep feeling safe around you. I keep having an open ear. And so I want what you have. That's really what translation, that's interpretation of what's going on. And so if we'd start hearing with Jesus' ears and seeing with Jesus' eyes and know that, hey, you're on mission right now, whether you realize it or not, whether you like it or not, and we are participating in that. He talks about this in Luke 10 and even in Luke 9. And Luke 9, actually in both Luke 9 and Luke 10, he says, what if they reject you? In Luke 9, 5, he says, if a town refuses to welcome you, if that relationship, if that person ignores you or, you know, is offended or whatever, it says, shake the dust from your feet as you leave to show that you've abandoned these people to their fate. In other words, you've delivered the message, what you're supposed to say, and they're not rejecting you. Because remember, it's not about you, it's about Jesus. And the identity that you've presented to them was not your identity, it was God's identity. And so if they're rejecting the message of God, they're rejecting God. Luke 10, 16, then he said to disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. Anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. Would you stand with me? And we're going to close right now. We're going to pray. I got three things I want you guys to really grasp over the next 3 weeks as we head toward Easter. The first one is prayer, and I've been talking about prayer. Lord, help me see with your eyes and help me hear with your ears. Lord, I want to participate in the great kingdom of God and mission that you've called me to be on. That's prayer. You can also pray for those specific people. After you've prayed for laborers in the field, it is completely appropriate to pray for the soil and the seeds and the process and lift them up in prayer. Jesus definitely says to do that after the fact. But I want to encourage you, second of all, to start writing a list, a physical list on paper, on your phone, on an email, whatever it is, however you take notes, of people in your life right now that you didn't even realize were people of peace in your life. But God is now showing you, hey, this person is really in my life right now, right at this time, so that I could share the gospel with them. Write them down on a list. Begin to pray for them. But I also want to share with you a tool that is an effective tool for everybody at Promise and San Marcos. You may not feel confident in harvesting, literally saying those prayers with people. You may not be there yet. I'm praying, like I said earlier, by the end of this series, you're going to be clicked up about three or four notches, and you're going to feel confident, because the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about different types of people, different types of relationships. We're going to give you practical examples of how to minister to these people. But one of the tools you have as a Promised Land San Marcos member is you have the Sunday morning worship service as a tool in your belt to invite people to. And you can be confident when you invite them here, they're going to hear the good news of Jesus. And I'm going to present it to them so that they can receive Jesus into their life and they can come into the family of God. In fact, we're about to do that right now for anybody that wants to come into the family. So we're going to pray, we're going to write lists, and we're going to act. We're going to invite people. It's so easy to invite people to Easter service. People know about Easter. People are ready to come to Easter service, but they need that invitation. So we're going to pray. We're going to have a list. I'm not going to say list 10 people, list 5 people. You just come up with a list. It may be one. It may be four. Who knows? But let's come up with a list. Let's pray about it. Let's take next steps. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that we would be engaged in this process. And Lord, I'm excited about the thought of hundreds of people leaving out of this place today, empowered, equipped, and sent, Lord, sent to proclaim, Lord, sent to display and mirror. God, sent out to be farmers, to see with your eyes, to hear with your ears, God, and to participate in bringing people in to the family of God, to share with them peace, share with them love, listen, care, have a heartbeat that's beating for the lost, God, to have that weight of responsibility, but at the same time, have the strength of your spirit emboldening us with power to go forth and be the message, to send the message of Jesus Christ. Now, right now, God, if there's anybody in the room that is far from you, that has come into this building or maybe watching online right now, that is far from you, that is not in the family, let's pray right now, everybody in the room. I want to give you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus right now and pray with me right now, to ask God into your life. And basically what we're doing is we're saying, God, you're from this day forward the Lord, the Master. You can use many different words here. Ultimately, he's your Savior. He's the one that's going to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Let's go to him right now in that type of prayer. Lord, we come before you as people from all walks of life. We come to you right now in submission, and we come to you, Lord, in repentance. We ask for you to forgive us right now, Jesus. In your own words, just ask the Lord to forgive you right now. God, forgive me of my sin. Please forgive me of anything in my life that's separated me from you. God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would take over my life. I would look to you as the author of my life, as you would be the completer of my life. You would be the beginning and the end. You would be the middle. You would take care of everything. God, I trust you with my money. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my relationships and my health. I trust you with my job and my education. I trust you with everything, God. This day forward, I'm yours. In Jesus' name, I pray. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with the power of your Holy Ghost, God. Let it wash over me. Let it wash through me. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to invite anybody that would like further prayer this morning. Maybe just pray that prayer. You want to agree with somebody. You need further prayer. The altar is open this morning. We're going to have prayer counselors up here. We're baptizing people this morning. If you'd like to be baptized into the family of Jesus, take on those identities, you can do that today, right now. If you're new, you want to go to Church 101, start gathering over in the Student Center. We'll show you where to go. Everybody else, go. Be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Be blessed in Jesus' name. We love you. You're dismissed.